What's up, everyone? I hope you're doing fantastic today. This is Rafael Garcia here for episode 108 of the Let's Talk Wrestling podcast. Today is Thursday, January 27th, and I want to thank you all for taking the time to check out the show. As always, we are back to talk about all the things going on in professional wrestling, and I have a couple of topics to get to, but before I do that, let me say thank you for everyone who takes the time to check out the show. Please be sure to like, share, and subscribe as much as you can. We appreciate all the support, and all of it really goes a long way in helping us slowly but surely build this channel at MMA Ratings. And you can always check us out at MMAratings.net and.com. And you can hit us up on all the streaming platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Acre, and a bunch of other places as well. You can check me out at rgarcia_sports. And we also have a secondary show. I guess this is the secondary show. The MMA Ratings podcast is the primary show. That is on Wednesdays. Myself, Shawn Humes. You can check us out on all those podcasting networks and on YouTube at MMA Ratings. Please be sure to subscribe to our network there. But again, as always, thank you all for taking the time to check us out. Tonight, I will be talking about the Royal Rumble, which is this Saturday. Ronda Rousey potentially coming back to professional wrestling. Be talking Danhausen and AEW, Beach Break, and a couple other topics, maybe if I have some time to get to them. I'm hoping to go 35, 40 minutes tonight, so we'll see. But as always, again, like I said, thank you for taking the time to check us out. My voice is sounding a little bit scratchy. I'm drinking some tea here, but, you know, it happens, whatever. So let's hop right into it, and let's talk about Royal Rumble 2022, which is this Saturday. And I want to talk about some of the matches, who am I thinking will win the event, and who are some of the surprise entrants I'm looking forward to. And this year is a little bit different than most. And the reason being is there doesn't seem to be any clear winners at all. Like, even still, today is Thursday, like I said, and I wonder if they have winners already kind of picked out, or if they're still trying to make some decisions. I have some theories on what they'll do, specifically based off of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. But this, at least for the men's side of it, it doesn't feel as exciting as it does in most years, just because the roster doesn't seem to be there. Yeah, they'll have surprise entrants, but when's the last time a surprise entrant has ever won it? And then on the women's side, there's going to be a lot of surprises there as well, too, because they've announced a lot of the people that are going to be in it, but I think there's still 11 slots that are open. So there's a lot of guessing around who is going to be in it. I have some predictions as well around who I think will be in the Royal Rumble. So let's see what that looks like. And I'm going to talk about some of the other matches too. So let's do that. I'm going to go ahead and start with the other matches first and then hit the two Rumbles at the end. Let's start with Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Miz and Maryse. I mean, this is a match that I care for the least on the card. I expect Edge and Beth Phoenix to get the victory here. The whole thing out of this, in my opinion, is that Beth Phoenix could clearly go for another run at the top of the women's division. I mean, especially if you look at how emaciated, almost in a sense, that the women's division has become because of all these roster cuts and piss poor booking. So much so that Charlotte Flair, she's actually in the Rumble, and this is the second pay-per-view in a row where she doesn't have a match. I don't know if you saw the video from this week where AJ Styles is on the bump, I think, and he's like, wait, why is Charlotte in the Rumble? I mean, you have AJ Styles, someone who has a Hall of Fame career regardless of promotion, and he's looking fed up over the idea of, like, why is she in the Rumble instead of defending her title? Like, that's stupid, but whatever. Like, that's really kind of how he looked at it. So you look at this women's division, and I look at Beth Phoenix, and I'm like, yo, she could go for another run. I mean, heck, if Edge is in title matches in WrestleMania, in steel cage matches in Saudi Arabia, in big matches for the last, 2 years since he's come back, I think Beth can do it too as well. She looks the part. I mean, we remember two Royal Rumbles ago where she, she's been in, I think 2019 was the last Rumble she was in, and she, like, split her head open badly, but she was still going and still hanging in there. I mean, the woman can still go. She's only 41 years old, and she looks the part. So out of this whole Miz and Maryse Beth Phoenix Edge thing. I think that we've seen Edge. I mean, Beth Phoenix would probably still go. I mean, hell, let's see what Maryse looks like too as well. I believe she's a former champion as well. All right, let's see what she looks like because she still may be able to do some things. Let me see. Maryse is, was she? Yep, she was a Divas champion, a two-time Divas champion. Yeah, she was just having, I mean, I wasn't, and she's only 39. So yeah, like these women can definitely be added to the women's division and boost that up a little bit because they really haven't been doing a good job of any of that. But that's really the thing I see the most from this match here. I expect Edge and Beth Phoenix to get the win there. Becky Lynch and Doudrop. I think this match is going to be a lot better than a lot of people are really anticipating. Doudrop can really work. I mean, go back and she has a list of I guess evidence behind that. I mean, of course you can look at NXT UK, but go back and look at progress and her other work while she was in the United Kingdom. She can go, and I think her and Becky Lynch are going to have an exceptional match here. I expect Lynch to win just because I don't think that they're going to do anything to really again build any other women in this division. I'm glad to see Doudrop get a shot here. Like I said, she can go and she looks the part. She looked good on Raw this past, or the last 2 weekends of Raw, where she had the chance to shine. She looks good whenever she's speaking in front of a mic. They could do something with her. It's just I don't expect WWE to ever really do that when it comes to the Four Horsewomen. They book them as the strongest women in the division, and everybody else be damned. So I'm expecting Becky Lynch to really get the victory here. And I want to talk more about that in a second. So Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, and so this is the caveat here. So you have both Roman Reigns taking on Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar taking on Bobby Lashley. One of these two men will lose their title, and what I foresee happening is whoever loses their belt will then join the Royal Rumble and win that. And what I mean is that, looking at the two individuals, I think that it'll be best for Lesnar to drop the title to Bobby Lashley. I think that Roman will interfere there. Like they can play off the idea that Lesnar's been overlooking Bobby Lashley for Roman Reigns, and Roman and Paul screw him over. So he loses the belt to Bobby Lashley. Then he goes into the Rumble, wins the Rumble, and declares that he's going to face Roman at WrestleMania. That allows them to get their Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar WrestleMania match without tying up both titles, puts the title on somebody believable in Bobby Lashley, and they could even do the Big E chase again, and that'll give people something to look forward to for Mania. I think that's the only way they really go about fixing what they've booked themselves into because of putting the title back on Lesnar at day one. I'm really interested in seeing the Bobby Lashley Brock Lesnar match. I know both of them are going to be exceptional. Seth and Roman are going to kill it. I think Lashley and Lesnar are going to do some good things as well too. So those matches I'm both looking forward to, and I'm really interested in seeing them. I think that excuse so many ridiculous. I think that Lesnar loses because of Roman, and then Roman defeats Seth at some point, and then the men's Rumble main event. Lesnar comes out like 27, 28, 29. He takes someone's spot, and then wins, and basically goes to WrestleMania, goes back to SmackDown. And then he gets a shot at his belt. It's unfortunate. I think that that's the direction that we're going in because this event is usually meant to elevate someone. We've seen it elevate some of the women. It elevated Asuka when she first got to the main roster, elevated Bianca Belair last year. It almost elevated Roman years ago when he was thrown out by Batista. And also, it's been meant to elevate someone time and time again. But right now, WWE has not, they don't have the roster. They have the roster, but they haven't booked the roster in a way that makes it believable that a Ricochet or a Sheamus or a Cesaro or someone that needs the elevation could win and go do something great at WrestleMania. It just doesn't feel believable anymore. In a perfect world, we would see Big E win. We would see Xavier Woods get a victory here. You could see, I mean, Drew McIntyre has already won one, so you could see someone like Damian Priest. He's been pretty well booked, but seeing him, except for his new shit sucks. But seeing him get a victory there would be pretty good as well. But this match just has not, or excuse me, this roster hasn't been booked in a way that makes you consistently care about guys. You'll see people maybe get a win and they're trading wins back and forth, like Kofi Kingston and Madcap Moss. You see guys like Mustafa Ali just being sat on the bench for no reason. So it's really like, what are we caring about here when we know that WWE is only going to effectively book maybe 3 to 4 people at a time, if that. So as I said, I expect Roman to win. I expect Lashley to win as well, pushing Lesnar into the Rumble where he'll win that. The Women's Rumble, though, is really up in the air. I have no idea who's going to win that. Right now, I'm leaning, honestly, as I sit here and think about it today on the 27th at 10:22 p.m., I'm leaning towards Naomi. And the reason why is because she's the only woman on SmackDown that's booked in any type of storyline. Not even Charlotte Flair doesn't really have a storyline right now. We have Naomi against Sonya Deville, and that is the only storyline of any substance that's going on SmackDown. And what I can say I think happens is that Naomi gets the victory and Sonya becomes a bigger thorn in her side along the way. So that's the opportunity for Naomi to overcome Sonya before going on to face Charlotte at WrestleMania. Is it stupid? Yes. Is it convoluted? Yes. The storyline between them needed to end a long time ago. I wrote about that almost 3 months ago. I was looking at the piece the other day, yesterday, and it was almost 3 to 4 months ago that I wrote the idea that this needs to end because it's becoming too drawn out, and it almost feels it feels a little bit dirty at this point in time. Like, why is Sonya continuously picking on one of the most popular Black women on the roster that fans have been wanting to see for an exceptional long time, for such a long time, and it's getting a little bit to be too much. It just doesn't rub me the wrong way any longer, and we need to get to a point where it is done with, and I'm hoping that that is sooner rather than later. And the only other person I can see winning, Bianca Belair, I would hate to see them give Charlotte a second one. Maybe Asuka if she returns. That's really, those are really the only people I can see. I can't see Rhea Ripley winning one because she's kind of bogged down in that Nikki Ash shit. Who else is on the roster? Not Xia Li, not Shotzi Blackheart. They'll be in it. Maybe like a Raquel Gonzalez, but she's kind of doing that storyline with Cora Jade. Who do they have? And that actually kind of brings me back to like Mickie James being in the Rumble. I actually wrote a piece from Fightful Select this week that the Iconics, the Inspiration as they are known in Impact, they were asked if they would want to come back, and they both said no, which I don't blame them for. Like, you fired me, and now you want me to come back and do you a solid because you fired so many people that you don't have enough to really book an interesting match. Get the no, absolutely not. They did the right thing. And I hope that they laughed when they were offered the position to come back. But that void kind of sort of creates some intrigue and also some worry around the Women's Rumble. I don't know who's going to win it. And that kind of Ronda. A lot of people have been talking about her potential return, and WWE is really pushing for her to come back. She just had a child in September, I believe. Someone I don't think a lot of people are talking about too is Lacey Evans, because you can, like, there, she's been posting pictures of her working out. She just had a child as well. I don't remember. I know she had hers after Becky, but I don't know if she had hers before Ronda. She's maybe in, I mean, she looks great in the pictures that she's been posting. I'm not a fan of her or of her character, but from a physical standpoint and a recovery standpoint, she looks like she's in excellent shape. So I would not be surprised if she makes a return on Saturday either and picks up a win, because WWE's always been high on her. But I have no idea who's going to win this Rumble. Ronda's name, like I said, has been brought up, and I hope it's not her. I wrote about this. This came out yesterday on Daily DT, and I used information. I cited a lot of information that Scarlett Harris wrote in her book. Goodness, I can't think of her name of her book. I'm sorry, Scarlett, if you see this, but I her just escapes me. But I looked at a lot of content that's in her book, and she talks specifically about Ronda and the impact she had on the women's division. And man, in some ways, she kind of decimated it because she ran through the division so much. I mean, she beat Charlotte, excuse me, not Charlotte, she beat Sasha. She was beating up Ruby Soho, who was Ruby Riott at the time. Alexa Bliss, she hurt her a couple of times. Nia Jax, she beat her. She beat so many women on that roster, and they booked her so strongly that when she left, it was like, well, we don't really care about any of the other women on the roster. At least that's how WWE treated the booking. And I don't want to see that happen again. Like, it's been 3 years since she left, just about, and this roster still has not recovered. WWE still doesn't act like they care about them anymore now. Than any more than they did after she left, after the WrestleMania in 2019, and that's not a good feeling. I was joking about it that Ronda's gonna come back and she's gonna beat Bianca Belair clean, because if they don't book, excuse me, if they didn't book Bianca strong enough to not lose to Becky Lynch in 30 seconds. What faith do we have at the idea that they would book her to beat Ronda Rousey? So that's just another reason for me. I don't want to see her back. So if she comes back in the Rumble, I would expect her to win it if she's in it. But man, this division does not need that right now. I mean, there's so many women that don't get television time. Shotzi Blackheart, Xia Li, Aaliyah. There's so many women in NXT that can bring up Dakota Kai, Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez. They have women that can perform, that are good in the ring, great characters that they just do not utilize. And putting Ronda back in the position that she was in, they're going to lose even a little bit of screen time that they have. So I saw a lot of people kind of excited about that. Like, you can be excited about it, but just know that it's not going to play out well for anyone else on the roster. So if we hear Ronda's music, she's winning it. She's going to, I haven't seen anything from her side to make it seem like she would be interested in coming back, but I've read a lot of reports about WWE's pushing her to come back because they need something. And other than thinking, hey, we're just going to book the women's division better, stronger, give them more quality time, more quality feuds. Let's bring somebody back that'll overshadow, and we're booking to overshadow the entire division. And then they'll leave again. And like, let's have fun with that. So, it's bullshit, but it's WWE 101. But I'm going to go ahead and go on a record and say that I think that Brock Lesnar wins the Men's Rumble, and either Naomi or Lacey Evans wins the Women's Rumble. So that was that topic. Surprise entrance. Who do I think will be a surprise entrance for the Rumble? Thinking mainly about the women now, I'm going to go. These are not women that are announced. I'm just going to say five names that are not announced as of yet. I think they've announced 19. So let me think of five names. I think Asuka, Kairi Sane, Dakota Kai, Io Shirai, and Raquel Gonzalez. I think those are my five surprise picks. Dakota, Io, and Raquel are kind of easy. But I think all three of them are close, are due for maybe a call up. Io may not get called up, but Raquel and Dakota should be close. Asuka also coming back from an injury, so she's on my list. And Kairi Sane, her contract is running out in February, and I don't think that she has any intention on coming back. But I think this would be an opportunity for her to get like an actual send off, seeing how she left during the COVID era, and she didn't really get like a fan appreciation send off. I think this would be a good opportunity for them to give her a proper send off. So let's move over a little bit and talk about AEW. I have a couple of topics there I want to hit on tonight. So for AEW, we're going to be talking about Beach Break, Adam Cole, Danhausen. We're also going to talk about Johnny Gargano a little bit too as well. Let's see. Let's start with Beach Break. This was a great show. I will say that the first event, first match, last match carried it. I really didn't care too much for anything in between that. Cody and Sammy Guevara. The second Sammy did that cutter off of the ladder to ladder, I immediately put this down on my list of match of the year candidates. It's January, third week in January, and we're gonna have to come. I was like, no, put this on the list because we're gonna come back, and this is gonna be a talking point for the year. We gotta make sure that that's included. That move by itself couldn't have been better. They could not have hit that move better than needed, and that really set the tone for the match. I mean, the crossroads off of the ladder, the vertical suplex off of the ladder was stupid. The Swanton bomb on top of the ladder, that ladder did not give. Sammy's back bent like he was a quarterback getting hit from the blind side. Like he just looked like he just snapped himself in half. This match is, if you have not seen any wrestling matches this week and you're like, what one match should I go back and watch? That one. The second one is Austin Theory versus AJ Styles. Go back and watch that for Monday Night Raw too, but that's another conversation for another night. This match was exceptional. It was fun and it really set the tone. Like a singles match, singles ladder match, one-on-one ladder match is hard to do. And those two guys made it a masterclass. It's going to be difficult to kind of match that energy. If I'm AEW, I don't book any more ladder matches this year. Nope, not a one. Maybe a multi-man one later on, but or come up with some other way to make a title defender or like a title challenger. But we're not doing ladder matches for a whole other year because that shit was bonkers, and no one's going to be able to follow that. So go and watch that match, as I said. Then the main event. And the main event, I know people are upset about. Orange Cassidy beat Adam Cole in a lights out match, and it does a couple of things. And we're going to be talking about Adam Cole in a second too, as well. But what it does is it allows that this feud to be blown off with Cassidy getting the victory, unfortunately. But it also allows them to pin Adam Cole and it not count, because if you look back, Britt Baker suffered a loss in her lights out match against Thunder Rosa and then went on a run right after that, and she's champion like 2 months later. Kenny Omega suffered a loss to Jon Moxley in a lights out match. A few months later, he's a champion that next year. Was it that next year? It may have been in 2021, or yeah, he won a title in 2020. So I don't expect this loss to hurt Adam Cole in any way, shape, or form. But I'm tired of Orange Cassidy. Like, he didn't need that victory. He's always going to be over with the fans, but I'm starting to wonder if he has a ceiling in AEW. In my opinion, the answer is yes, that he does have a ceiling. He should have a ceiling, but I don't know if he does. Well, I'm saying yes, that he does, but he's like I'm over his stick. I'm over it. Like, I get it. It's funny sometimes. But he's just not who I don't need to see him beating some of the top names in the promotion. Adam Cole is one of the top names in the company, especially now with Kenny out. And we want to see a strong Adam Cole when Kenny returns because we know that that feud is coming. So I wouldn't call this a step back, but it's certainly not a step forward. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next with them. They're going to figure out something because they're not going to leave Adam Cole on the sideline like they've done so many other people. They're not going to leave. They're not going to do that. They'll figure it out. But this match didn't need to happen like this. They should have just let Cole get the victory and just kind of finish it. Excuse me. There we go. But at least the feud is done. That's one thing for sure. I'm over it. I don't need to see Adam or Orange Cassidy on my television anymore for an extended period of time. They could use like it's funny. We got Danhausen, which a lot of people are hyped up about. I get it. He's going to be a great character on screen and behind the scenes for AEW. I get it. We get a lot of Orange Cassidy on television, who isn't going to be a champion, but he's going to kind of like bounce back and forth between that comedy shtick that everyone feels about. Why can't we get what? Where's Powerhouse Hobbs been? When's the last time Hobbs has had a match on television? Let me actually look, because that is a fantastic question. So Hobbs had a match against Dante Martin that he lost in January. So that was a win that elevated Martin, who hasn't been really on TV since. Let me see, when's the last time? So Dante Martin really hasn't been on TV since. I'm gonna check that in a second. But then before that, his last television singles match was against Orange Cassidy back in October in the AEW title eliminator. Just out of curiosity, Dante Martin's last televised singles match was probably, it was a one against Dante of Powerhouse Hobbs on January 12th. And then I guess MJF back in December. So, yes, I get it. They're signed, like, they can't sign everyone. They do make quality hires, but I've had enough of Orange Cassidy on television. I think that they could find time for someone else. I think they could find time for another women's match. They could find time with some other people that fans are pushing them to kind of highlight better. I think that they could really do that. When's the last time? I mean, Scorpio Sky, he was watching the opener, but he had, I don't know, when's the last time he's been in a match on TV either. So let me look at that. Hold on. Scorpio Sky's last singles match on television was against Darby Allin back in March. Yeah, that's pretty telling. So yeah, I've had enough of Orange Cassidy. I think Adam Cole is in a good position, but now that he's lost to Orange Cassidy, I need to see less of Orange, to be honest. I need to see less of him and some other individuals. I think Danhausen is going to be funny, but again, who is he taking time away from this weekend? Like, who is he taking time away from? That's going to be a fantastic question. So let's see what that kind of looks like and where we're going from there. Yeah, this is going to be some interesting times when it comes to AEW and their allotted time on television. What else stood out from Beach Break? We need to do something with Britt Baker as well. She is beloved in AEW community, rightfully so. They need to give her something big, and I think they need to do that before Thunder Rosa. It's interesting because I think that they have the Thunder Rosa feud sitting there. They also have the budding feud with Jamie Hayter as well too, and I don't think either one of those women should lose to Britt, to be honest with you. And I don't know how they do that. Maybe some miscommunication between Hayter and Britt causes Britt to lose to Thunder, and then you can do that feud with Jamie being the face between the two, or something else, or maybe Jamie's the one to take the build off of excuse me, off of Britt. Maybe that's an opportunity there too as well. But Britt's momentum has really slowed. I don't think it's where they want it to be. Well, they probably don't even realize that, but in my opinion at least, Britt's momentum has slowed, and I think people are getting tired of her as champion, or tired of her without something of value to do. So let's see what that looks like. I mean, I feel like they're just going to give her that year-long reign just so they can do it and kind of push Hikaru Shida out of that spot. But I'm kind of over her in this position. And then we also got the quick one to hit on Johnny Gargano. So today is actually the anniversary of that exceptional match he had with Andrade in 2018. And if you have the opportunity, go back and watch that match, because it is personally, it's my favorite NXT match of all time. It's probably my top three favorite WWE matches in the last few years. That one, the Buddy Murphy Mustafa Ali no disqualification match is up there for me. Man, there's so many others. Kota Ibushi versus Brian Kendrick is another one from the Cruiserweight Classic. There's some matches that are like really up there for me. Of course, Kofi Kingston, Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, whatever his name was back then. But today's the 4 year anniversary of Gargano versus Andrade. Go back and watch that. That is a great, great match. And his name kept coming up last night because people are expecting him to join AEW. And he tweeted about that, saying that it's good to see, you know, people still looking for him, people still hyping him up. Obviously, Candice LeRae is due. I think she's due in early February. So obviously, let that man go be a dad. But I would like to see him back. I don't want to see him go straight to AEW, though. I would love to see him do some work in like GCW and like the independents first, because I want to see that man get to work, whoever he wants to work first, before hopping back over there. But I should be hopping over to AEW, but I think that is where he's going to end up long term. But again, the question comes up: how many people can they sign, and when are they going to sign one of the big names that were released from AEW? I mean, are they even trying? Keith Lee, Ember Moon, Mia Yim, Swerve. Where are we with that? And we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do bring one of those guys in and or ladies in sooner rather than later. But the fans are pushing them to really see that. And speaking of the independent circuit, I'm going to hit on a couple of quick topics about that. Let's see. Terminus 2 is coming up, and that's going to be a great matchup or great card. Swerve is already announced, Leo's already announced, Queen Amita, Kevin Blackwood, there's someone else too as well. I think it's going to be a good card. February 24th in Atlanta. I will be unable to make that for other reasons, but I am going to make a Terminus event at some point. One of those cards in Atlanta. Hopefully, they have another one kind of lineup ready to go. Maybe we'll see if I can ever make one. GCW, also about Terminus, if you didn't catch the first one, Phil Day, what the fuck is Phil's last name? I just drew a blank. Hold on. Phil, what is your last name, dog? Don't kill me. Let's see. Phil Lindsay, goodness. He did a great review of it over on Daily DDT, so go check it out there. GCW, they had a good card this past Saturday at Hammerstein Ballroom. I'm hearing good things about it. I want to go to a GCW show this year. I'm going to try to make that happen. I really want to go to a Bloodsport card. For the culture is WrestleMania weekend. I don't think I'll be able to make that. I might be traveling that weekend, but I definitely want to go to a GCW card. So be sure to support them. You can find their content over at Fight TV. They're doing some good things, and I hope that they continue to elevate themselves and get bigger in this space, so we can have competition in pro wrestling. Competition is good. It's always going to be good. So I would love to see more of that, and I want them to see them get bigger as well. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be more intentional about being involved with independent wrestling. I just gotta find the time. This is going to be a good year for not only myself as covering pro wrestling, but Daily DDT as a whole, MMA ratings as a whole for our coverage. So it'll be a good year, and one of my commitments is definitely being more committed to independent wrestling. But folks, we've been going for about a little more than half an hour, so I want to take the time to say thank you for your continued support. Please be sure to like, share, and subscribe wherever you see MMA ratings in our content. You can hit me up at rgarcia_sports. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend and stay safe out in these streets.